cool silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a cold of silence and it can't go on.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 20th of February 2009. I always advise newcomers to look into cuttingthroughthematrix.com, and on the website you'll find lots of talks I've given in the past, which cover a vast array of the big system. I go into the big system in depth in different areas, and there's so many areas to go into to show you that the world is being planned. The future is always planned, and I try and give you clues as to who's doing the planning, at least the ones they come forward and tell us through their own think tanks. I try and tie it together for you and show you where it's all supposed to go. And the reason it's done with all deception and subterfuge is because it's so horrific that if the public knew, there would be an uprising across the planet. They can never tell the public the truth, because this agenda was set up an awful long time ago and written about by the big players, including the future vision of a world, their little utopia, where there'd be very little or few people left on it, in fact. And definitely not very many of the masses, because we're all inferior genetically. And they hope that through science they could create better slaves to serve their needs better for the elite themselves, who naturally will come through. Also look into Alan Watt's Sentinel for .eu for transcripts of these talks, which you can download, print up, and they're written in the various languages of Europe. For those who listen, they're pretty well veterans of what's been going on when you listen to shows like this. When you realize, as I say, that the world's planned in stages, and the boys who understand when to implement the next step, the next stage, do so not by sticking a pin in a paper somewhere or a calendar, but because they understand how long it takes to condition a generation so that they'll accept the next changes. It's all to do with programming the public to accept changes. It's an art. It's a scientific art. It's guaranteed to work. And I always refer to Plato, who talked about this art in his book, The Republic, and others of his own work. He goes into it in fair depth as to how the human psychology works on the masses. And he understood thousands of years ago how to implement changes on public. If they simply went from one type of system to another overnight, there would be rebellions. But if you train one generation gradually into thinking about this new system and then gradually implementing bits of it from all different directions, you can eventually accept it all without thinking. That's how easy it is. Done thousands of years ago, and it's all been done again today. But today it's much more easier because they have not just national education systems, they have an international education system to ensure that everyone on the planet gets the same indoctrination. Very important we all start off on the same program. It's interesting, too, that across the world right now there are people in power who pretty well vowed to end homeschooling. In Italy, it was banned by an act of parliament because, and they said in the report, they wanted everyone to get the same indoctrination. Very important for the future. That's how the world is run, is by international cartels. And we get glimpses of who they are, the different cartels specializing in different areas. We see the cartels have taken over the entire food supply of the planet, for instance. And eventually that will come down to probably one. Another one is taking over the energy supplies of the planet. And that's all they'll deal with eventually. There will be one corporation for each special need for humanity. Back with more after this break. Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt. We're cutting through the matrix. Sometimes you did tie in the past to bring you up to speed as to what's happening today and where you're supposed to go. Because, as I say, you get all these clues down through your life as little statements are made here and there in different programs on television or in the newspapers, which don't mean much to the public at the time because it's never really explained to the public what the politicians are really, really saying. And that's a decision, of course, that the media puts in. If they wanted to explain it all to you, they would. They don't want you to know what's really going on at any one time. Mind you, they'll give you lots of trivia and detailed trivia at that. But the media is an essential arm of government to keep us all in the dark. Here's one article here that ties up some of the system in which we live and where it's supposed to go. And it was aired on CPAC. There's actually a video attached to it. I'll leave the link at the end of the show. That was a cable public affairs channel, February 10th, 2009. The overlay on the video is titled Ottawa, Global Governance and the Future of the G20. Governance, again, is a United Nations term that came into vogue a few years ago. As it changed the whole idea of government to governance. What they're really talking about is a new Sovietized system where NGOs will be the new democracy. They already are, in fact. But that's what the democracy will consist of in the future. Nothing but NGOs who are funded by think tanks and the big foundations. They lobby government already. They advise government already. And they bypass democracy through the system. It says here, former Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin, who was in from 2003 to 2006. In fact, he was a lifer politician, one of his career politicians. And he got in actually because the former Prime Minister Chrétien stepped down. And Martin, who had been in government, I think, his whole life, had only been missing from government for a few months while he worked at the United Nations, walked right back to Canada and took up the position as Prime Minister. So he's already primed for his role at the United Nations where he worked. As his Paul Martin said, what is going to happen when a Chinese hedge fund goes under and the results of that tsunami don't stop at the Chinese or Indian border? Who's going to deal with that unless we are prepared to understand that, in fact, we are all going to give up a little bit of our sovereignty to make the world work? Where are we hearing that all over the place? Every item comes along with monetary crashes or whatever, giving up your sovereignty. Terrorism, giving up your sovereignty to make the world work. So I hope that this is also something that the G20 comes to deal with. So those are the issues I got to deal with. I think that we are really at the beginning of a very different era. So you could say New World Order. They phrase it in different ways, you see. It says 1944, the great minds of the world, such as Dexter White, John Maynard Keynes, and a bunch, essentially laid the foundations for Bretton Woods institutions and the United Nations, and they built a system that functioned for over 50 to 60 years. I think it's time to renew that vision. I think we've got to take it one step further. Now, I've mentioned before that John Maynard Keynes himself said this would be part one, and that the real goal was to bring in a world of service where every citizen would serve a world system. That's what they're talking about right here. And so here's Martin saying they're going to take it one step further. He says here, if I can find it again. There's another video here too. It says below shows the EU, the Economic Union, calling for a new world governance. You can see Sarkozy, French president, holding the EU presidency at the time, and Barroso, EU commissioner, president, coming out and calling for the setup of a new world governance, a new global order, global governance, and the crisis are the perfect time to lead the public into it. Crisis are the perfect time to lead the public into it, you see. And that's what order out of chaos is. They always do this. They set up the crisis, and then they herd us along in a different direction. It's all done in advance, order out of chaos. And so there's a few videos on here you can see to do with these big people, well-known people, presidents, etc., talking about the New World Order. That's for those who don't believe there is one. And strange enough, there are people out there who really don't believe it, that there's a New World Order. Even though they hear it over and over, they'll still phone me in and ask me where to find it. And I've given quote after quote after quote from a book recently, night after night, ad nauseum. They still don't want to believe it. It's astonishing. But I'll put these links up at the end of the show, as I say, and you can see it for yourself. The world has been tied up by a handful of corporations. That means that everything that you need to survive, such as energy of all kinds, your fuel, your electricity, your natural gas, oil, has been taken over. The rights to even have it has been taken over by people because it's combined with government and sustainability. That's what interdependence is all about. It's a ruse to dominate every person on the planet. You also have a few corporations, as I say, who are managing all the food of the planet, and eventually that will be one corporation. It probably is already, but they give the appearance of being different companies. An old trick they did with Standard Oil when they went into deregulation at one time. Standard Oil had the monopoly on everything, and so all they did is deregulate and set up a whole bunch of separate companies, but still under the same founder. There's no real competition in the world right now. It's completely sewn up, and we are at the mercy of these big tycoons. And it's not just about money or power. It's about bringing in a world that was envisaged a long time ago. And these guys all believe in this vision of the world. They've tried everything. Global warming, global cooling, all kinds of disasters to terrify the public to go along with this interdependence nonsense. Remember, in the 70s, they were on about global cooling and the coming ice age. The same scientists that are now getting their paychecks for saying it's global warming. Now, it's just weather. The weather changes. This is from Time, Monday, June the 24th, 1974. In Africa, drought continues for the sixth consecutive year, adding terribly to the toll of famine victims. During 1972, record rains in parts of the U.S., Pakistan, and Japan caused some of the worst flooding in centuries. In Canada's wheat belt, a particularly chilly and rainy spring has delayed planting and may well bring a disappointingly small harvest. Rainy Britain, on the other hand, has suffered from uncharacteristic dry spells in the past few springs. A series of unusually cold winters has gripped the American Far West, while New England and Northern Europe have recently experienced the mildest winters within anyone's recollection. As they review the bizarre and unpredictable weather patterns of the past several years, a growing number of scientists are beginning to suspect that many seemingly contradictory meteorological fluctuations are actually part of a global climatic upheaval. And that's how they put it across back in the 70s. Climatic, global and climatic upheaval. However, widely the weather varies from place to place and time to time. When meteorologists take an average of temperatures around the globe, they find that the atmosphere has been growing gradually cooler for the past three decades. The trend shows no indication of reversing. Climatological Cassandras are becoming increasingly apprehensive for the weather aberrations they are studying, maybe the harbinger of another ice age. An ice age. That's how they started this whole thing off. It says here, telltale signs are everywhere, from the unexpected persistence and thickness of pack ice in the waters around Iceland to the southward migration of a warmth-loving creature like the armadillo from the Midwest. They give you these farcical stories. Since the 1940s, the mean global temperature has dropped about 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit. Although that figure is at best an estimate, it's supported by other convincing data. When climatologist George J. Kulka Kukla of Columbia University's Lamont-Doherty Geological Observatory and his wife Helena analyzed satellite weather data. For the Northern Hemisphere, they found that the area of the ice and snow cover had suddenly increased by 12% in 1971, and the increase has persisted ever since. Areas of Baffin Island in the Canadian Arctic, for example, were once totally free of any snow in summer, for those who didn't know that. Now they are covered year-round. Scientists have found other indications of global cooling. For one thing, there's been a noticeable expansion of the Great Belt of Dry, High-Altitude Polar Winds, the so-called circumpolar vortex that sweep from west to east around the top and bottom of the world. Indeed, it is the widening of this cap of cold air that is the immediate cause of Africa's drought. By blocking moisture-bearing equatorial winds and preventing them from bringing rainfall to the parched sub-Sahara region, as well as other drought-stricken areas stretching all the way from Central America to the Middle East and India, the polar winds have in effect caused the Sahara and other deserts to reach further to the south. Paradoxically, the same vortex has created quite different weather quirks in the U.S. and other temperature zones. As wind swirls around the globe, their southerly portions undulate like the bottom of a skirt. Cold air is pulled down across the western U.S. and warm air is swept up to the northeast. So this is the kind of stuff, the stuff that we're using back in the 70s to get this sustainable development idea across to us. Of course, it didn't work out that way, so they simply changed it to global warming. Back with more after this break.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt, and we're cutting through the matrix. I was going on about what the public were being fed regarding the weather situation back in the 70s from Time, and there's a two-page article, I'll put up the links at the end of the show, to show you how they introduced it at that time, but unfortunately the weather did not cooperate with them. So the same scientists actually swapped hats and went off in their direction, and claimed it was global warming that was to blame. And it's amazing how they can suddenly change their points of view when they get a paycheck that seems to be guaranteed to be fairly steady, an income. That's what runs scientists today. They all run on the same thing. And also Wise Up Journal has a good article on this particular topic. I'll give a link to that at the end of the show as well. They go into it in fairly good detail. Now we have callers online. There's Dale from Michigan there. Are you there, Dale?
Yes, Alan.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
One thing I absolutely love about your show, and I couldn't believe how fortunate I was when I found it, is that you let your mind go there, and so many people don't. And you consider things, and I think that through your meditation and everything, that you consider all points. I have one article. I don't know if people realized it, but the stimulus package has billions of dollars for agencies that fund biomedical research and genomics.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day when I called in, I wasn't suggesting that people that have Rh-negative blood are from another planet or the stars or anything like that. I'm talking about very real people here on the Earth. And the whole thing about, you know, parents, could this person be my parent? They get into the subject of chimera.
Mm-hmm.
And scientists are creating now chimeric pathogens. And Eric Pianka talked about killing off 85 or 90% of the population, and that what they needed was an airborne Ebola virus.
Yeah.
And through Chimera, what they're trying to do is combine the common cold with diseases like AIDS and Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's in the news, and you can read about it, and people can say, well, you know, they intend to cull the population by 2050, but I think it's going to be much sooner than that.
And, well, they've actually, you understand, they've already been doing it.
Oh, I know.
It's been done quietly, you know. And it's so easy to regulate because you can go into the scientific data, especially medical data, prior to the 1950s, and they had very good statistics on different diseases, cancers, etc. And from 1950 onwards, we plummeted in health. We found out cancers coming out of all kinds of cancers breaking out. In fact, there's so many today they can't even give names to them. They're so new and have different ways of taking over. And this all happened in a span of 50 years. The male fertility plummeted, and I've gone over the documentation. Now, when you tie it in with the statements made by the big players around the same time, like the Huxleys and the Bertrand Russells and so on, who talked about the necessity to, and the Charles Galton Darwin, who actually said they could use hormones, etc., to affect children in the womb, which is exactly what's been happening, especially with male infertility. The crucial 8 to 12 weeks is so important. If you could get female hormones in there at the same time, the development of the male will not really take over properly for the entire life of that person when they're born. So when you tie it all together, these guys weren't just suggesting they go ahead and do this. They were actually doing it.
Right.
And it's the same with the death rate. At a time when we're supposedly we've got more health care than any previous generation ever had, we're the sickest people of all. And as I say, we're sterile, we're dying off with all kinds of diseases, we're fed poisons for food, even the scandal to do with the processed foods and the mercury contamination in it all, because they use mercury in the process to process it.
Mm-hmm.
Can they keep that quiet for 50 years?
Right, and they just had a trial on that, and they said that the people, the parents that were trying to prove that it was the mercury in the vaccines, they didn't bring in experts. That they only brought in people that knew what they were talking about. And I had heard, I was watching C-SPAN one morning, and they were talking about the thimerosal, and they said that they had taken it out of the vaccines. Well, a nurse called in, and she said, yeah, they took that out, and they put a much more potent form of mercury in instead and called it something else.
Yes.
You know? So when they tell you they've taken it out, they don't tell you, yeah, we made it even stronger.
Yes.
But what I wanted to say, you and Jackie spoke about religion, and she called herself a heretic. And what I was trying to get at with the Rh negative is not that there's anything inherently different about Rh negative and Rh positive, but it's one of those red herrings where they can claim that they're superior.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the Bible, and I meditate all the time, Genesis 3:15, after Eve had eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God said to Satan, he said, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed.
Yeah, hold on a second, and we'll come after this break for the same topic.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watts. We're cutting through the matrix, talking to Dale. Are you still there, Dale?
Yes.
Yes, you were saying.
I was saying, the reason why the rulers of the world can claim that they believe in God and they believe in this religion is that the Bible, to me, is a book of racial hygiene for Rh negative people. The Rothschilds funded a study into geese, wingless geese on an island that had been isolated from the rest of the world of geese for populations, which meant they inbred among their own group. And over time, the researchers said that over hundreds of thousands of years, they became a different species because they couldn't breed with those other geese any longer. And if you look at the family trees of the Rh negatives, they have no branches. Mm-hmm. And they were told to keep separate and to themselves. How can God say, thou shalt not kill, but he tells his people to go into the land of Canaan and kill every man, woman, and child, and without fail to do this? And how can Jesus, when his disciples told him, why are you telling people the secrets? He says, it'll go right over their head. They have no idea what I'm really talking about. I mean, what we have, you talk about the exoteric and the esoteric. I cannot believe that people go to church and they believe the simplistic thoughts and ideas that are handed out to them week after week. And I'm not trying to put them down. You know, it's a social thing that they do. But if they really knew what it's talking about,
in this world, the bottom line in the world is it can be no people who are superior over others. And I don't care if they do
we're all
politics or whatever, or, you know, whatever reason is given. The fact is we cannot live in a world where people claim to be superior.
Right.
I mean, you'll see the same thing, as I say, with Germany. At one time, we had the master plan for the master race and all this kind of stuff, and they persecuted peoples. But then again, you see the same people who are persecuted doing the same thing in the Middle East.
Exactly.
And so the technique, and what I always say, if something walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who puts people behind barbed wire and uses them as a labor force, basically is a Nazi.
Right.
Because that's what that is.
Well, and they're a big snake. If you look at the way they act, it's like we'll talk and talk and talk, and in the meantime, we'll kill thousands more Palestinians.
Yeah, but you understand, too, there's geopolitics here.
Yeah.
Because every country in the Western world has backed Israel. And don't confuse Judaism with Israel. Because there's one hell of a history behind Israel and who actually came into it to begin with.
Well, there's,
And Rothschild told a lot of the farmers who came there in the late 1800s to settle, and he asked for permission to do different things. And he told them, he says, you will do no such thing. He says, Israel is mine.
Yeah.
He says, Israel is mine.
And
then you find out, too, again, from reading the ones who set up Israel, like Storrs, who was the governor general on behalf of the British royalty, he said that most of them came in from Russia, and they were actually hardened communists. Mm-hmm. It was a communist ideology which drove them. That's why they brought the kibbutzes in. And many of them said the reason they moved out of the Soviet Union was that the Soviet Union was not communistic enough. Mm-hmm. And they set up the kibbutzes under the Platonic idea of separating children from parents at birth, so there would be no affection to parents and no adhesion to people who were contaminated. So there was a communist doctrine there at the beginning. However, with the West geopolitical strategy, and it's often said at the top, even in Washington, that Israel is really just a state, a tool of Washington, because they needed someone in the Middle East to set up problems. They did not want a United Arab Federation to deal with in the Middle East, and so they had to put someone in there that would keep the pot boiling, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happened. That's why the countries are silent on it, is because it's part of long-term geopolitical strategy. They knew, all the countries in the world who were in on this global agenda a long time ago, starting from Britain, knew that that they would never, ever destroy or convert a Muslim population that had united federations. They'd be too strong. They would not go along with democracy. They've never known what democracy is. And mind you, they functioned well enough without it. But it was intended that everyone would get forced under the hammer of democracy. Democracy, as you know, is a rubber band. It's very elastic. It can be redefined as years go on. And that's why they set up Israel there. But never confuse an elitist plan with Judaism, because the average Jew doesn't know what's going on either.
I know, and you've mentioned that the experiments they did with Sephardic and Hasidic Jews, where they bombarded children with radiation,
mm-hmm.
and so many of them died. It's not like they have a love for Jewish people.
Well, what you've got here, and I'll maintain this, for, you know, I'm going to maintain this. At the top of the world, you have people who can guide whole peoples. They're aristocratic. They don't care if they're sitting on the throne of England or pretending to be the leaders of Israel. You have an aristocracy, a small aristocracy, guiding the whole world's populations right now, and they don't care what camouflage they go under. And you'll find at the end of all of this that they're none of what we thought they were. None of them.
Right.
What we thought they were.
Right. Well, I do get, you like Monty Python, the anarcho-syndicalist, when the woman says, you know, there's some lovely filth over here, Dennis. I look at a lot of different things. And a lot of them I totally write off. A lot of things, there's truth mixed with lies.
Mm-hmm.
But I will research and I will find incredible knowledge, you know, a whole new line of thought when I look at something. John Stewart had on his program Europe in Canada that the Prime Minister suspended Parliament.
That's right.
With the blessings of the Queen. And there is, I found out on a video, it's like the Queen when she's inaugurated, she has the emblems of Egypt, you know, all of the emblems, you know, the rod and the staff of the Good Shepherd.
They go all the way back to Nimrod. The symbols there, even with the checkered floor, all go all the way back to Nimrod, including the ermine gown she wears.
Yeah. You know, and the great work, like you say, it's like we figure we're going to live, you know, maybe 90 years if we're incredibly lucky. But these people, they're working towards something. They are like a beehive. And that kind of mentality, I don't understand at all.
Well, it's a separate religion. It's a religion that's never been explained to the public. It's in no holy book that's given to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a definite religion. I mean, Rockefeller's 94. And here he is down at the very summit of the Americans. He's financing all of them. And he's just as enthusiastic today as he was when he was in his 20s.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen normally. Normally, your views and your opinions will change as you get older and you lose some steam. But these people have to be religious fanatics. But what is the religion? That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
But thanks for calling. And I'll try one more caller here. There's one more caller waiting. I'm going to Tony from Florida. Hey there, Tony.
Yeah, Alan.
Yes.
Okay. Look, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. You're not on GCN. You're on RBN. You're not on Alex Jones. You're on a different network. And I know you're going to take this as a hostile call, and it's not. Okay? Because, look, everything you say is the truth, but there's one missing link on what you say. I'm just going to be candid with you. If you want to hang up on me, hang up on me.
I'm listening. Just get on with it.
Listen. I'm going to get on with it. What you need to do is get out of Ontario, Canada, and come down to the United States and get into a free speech zone. Get into a free speech zone because you have the missing link, and you talked about this lady. What the missing? You just don't want to say it because you're under law up there. And that's it. And you know what I'm talking about. You go on and on about the New World Order. You will not mention the Jew. I'm sorry. That's the fact. Hey, look at, hang up on me now. I have to.
Well, what I'll say is.
You're under law up there. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I will say is, don't think that all of them at the top are Jewish.
That's my different opinion of you.
No, I'll first of all agree with you.
I respect you.
What I'll agree with you on is that for years, running the U.S. system especially, that they're for a minority group in the world, you have way too many of one type running your country. And that's obvious to the world. It's also obvious to people across the world, including the Arabs, who are wondering who runs the U.S. So there's no doubt about that. There's a minority here. Now, they may they claim they're atheistic in their beliefs. It's true that New American Century crowd were heavily involved with shaping the whole policies for the U.S. over the Bush era. We know who all those members were. We know that Leo Strauss was a man who came up with those policies, who also came up with the policies of a myth for the age, fear, using fear tactics and all the rest of it to control populations. So with that part, I will agree. But you'll find at the end of all of this that they're not who they say they are either. As I say, there's another religion above all of this. And these characters will hide behind all kinds of religion. If I wanted to really, really be secretive, I would put people in the front who will take the heat. Well, I'd be a different species altogether. That's how I would do it.
All I could say is I am not hostile to you in a bit. I think you need to get out of Antirio and come down here.
I don't have to. You see, we're merging with you.
Let me ask you this. I'm not being hostile to you one bit. Do you really feel that you have total freedom of what you have to say, and you've been going on for hours and hours and hours? You feel, and if you feel, sir, that you have it, then you say it, and I respect it, that where you're sitting there in Ontario, Canada, you can blow it all out, and you have no fear.
Oh, I tell you, absolutely. In Canada, you have so many restrictions on where you can go. Even if you have legitimate questions to ask, you cannot ask those questions. Questioning something can get you in big trouble. If you were a child, in fact, asking questions, and every child should be allowed to ask any question they wish, you'd still be in trouble.
That's what I'm saying. I just think you should just get out of here and come down, 200 miles, 150 miles, and then you could do with everything you want to say. And then at that point, then, fine, I have no problems with you. And I don't have a Alan, I don't want to be hostile to you. You're on IBM. I made my point, okay?
Okay.
I just think you should come down to free speech.
Yes.
Down 150 miles. Get out of there.
I'll definitely think about it. But remember, we're merging with you totally by 2010. We've only got 1 year to go. Thanks for calling, though. But, yeah, that's what you really have. As I say, you can't really talk openly about any single thing, no matter how legitimate the questions may be. You will be hammered for it. But at the same time, too, as I say, don't ever be misled by what's thrown in front of you to see. That's something, as I say, people who want to remain secretive will always have frontmen in every government. In fact, that's what governments really are comprised of. They're frontmen. They're picked out and coached as to their roles for their terms in office. And, of course, if you truly wanted one people to take the blame, you would certainly put in people who seem to represent them. We've got to be very, very, very careful here because there's more to it than meets the eye, much more to it. Here's an article here from opednews.com to do with the food. Now, how they're going after the food now. February the 12th, 2009, says Monsanto in Illinois, Homeland Security and USDA plan attacks against animals. Says blows a letter to livestock producers in Illinois asking them and others to contact the governor's office to ask to be allowed to be present at a meeting between Homeland Security and the USDA, which involves NAIS and surge capacity under Homeland Security to attack and seize and destroy, depopulate an area of animals. This meeting is about what will be done to them, but they are shut out. So the people who will be involved, all the farmers and so on, aren't allowed into this meeting. It says many of you already know that about Monsanto's rural cleansing in southern Illinois of 200 to 400 farmers for using Steve Hixon as their seed cleaner. One is being sued for $400,000. Do the math. In 2006, Monsanto made $160 million in this mafia-like extortion. Many of you already know that Monsanto was involved in the development of NAIS, which to me appears to be the setup on the animal side to do what Monsanto has done with seeds, eliminate normal animals and substitute genetically engineered animals, which, of course, Monsanto has the patent on. I've written about how Homeland Security is set to do military-type warrantless raids against farms to seize and destroy animals and crops and equipment using animal disease as excuse. no due process, no means of checking to see if any of the animals are fine, and no way to stop the slaughter. I've also written how the USDA has already proved it operates this way. Homeland Security is a centralization of power bequeathed to us by Bush's war on terror, something many believe was not based on an enemy attack at all. Amnesty International is calling for elimination of laws that were passed under Bush's war on terror justification. NSA spying is one such abuse. NSIS is NSA spying on steroids. Imagine paying for the equipment used to spy on you, yourself having to keep it up, having to let the government know in advance of every move your animals make, such as a trail ride, for instance, or your child bringing a pet chicken to the school, and to have to file paperwork within 24 hours afterwards or face penalties so draconian the second infraction of your chicken crosses the road and you fail to report on time is $500,000 fine. NEIS is backed up by Homeland Security. Both are connected to Monsanto, and, as is typical of Monsanto, both are resulting in terror for farmers. And it's true enough. Farmers now are terrified, not just about this, but about the seeds, the altered seeds blowing or getting into their fields by birds pooping, as happened in Canada, supposedly. The judges have already said that. We don't care how it's on your land. It's on your land, and therefore, you're out of business. Monsanto always wins. Food and Water Watch, the Organic Consumers Association, the Center for Food Safety, Public Citizen and Campaign for Liberty, Amnesty International, the ACLU, and every farming, food, and anti-GMO animals rights, etc. groups in this country must come together and with many other groups to need to demand NEIS be eliminated entirely. And they should before it's too late. Back with more after this break. Hi, folks. I am Alan Watt. We're cutting through the matrix. And I should mention before going to this next article, if we've got time, that you can help support me by going to the website cuttingthroughthematrix.com. And you'll find lots of talks I've given there. You can download them for free. Also, you can buy those items I have for sale. That keeps me going. And you can donate as well, if you'd like, the buttons on the site, cuttingthroughthematrix.com. Getting back to this global cooling scam that tried to cool in the 70s before they found it was easier to warm the planet through the aerial spray. It says here, this is from Wise Up Journal, again from the 70s. He's taken extracts from these two articles from Time magazine. It says here, man too may be somewhat responsible for the cooling trend. This is what they're telling us in the 70s. The University of Wisconsin's Reed A. Bryson and other climatologists suggest that dust and other particles released into the atmospheres as a result of farming and fuel burning may be blocking more and more sunlight from reaching and heating the Earth's surface. Whatever the cause of the cooling trend, its effect could be extremely serious, if not catastrophic. Scientists figure that only 1% decrease in the amount of sunlight hitting the Earth's surface could tip the climatic balance and cool the planet enough to send it sliding down the road to another ice age within only a few hundred years. I wonder if that's why they're spraying it all. And they've already admitted from NASA there's less sunlight hitting the planet. They just don't mention it's because of all the spraying. University of Toronto climatologist Kenneth Hare, a former president of the Royal Meteorological Society, believes that the continuing drought and the recent failure of the Russian harvest gave the world a grim premonition of what might happen. Warns Hare, I don't believe that the world's present population is sustainable. There you are, this is the 1970s. He doesn't believe that the world's present population is sustainable if there are more than 3 years like 1972 in a row when it claimed it was cooling. So it's the same hype they were giving back then, only they were blaming the cooling for it. It says here, strange how the 70s experienced a cooling period after industrial age decades of fossil fuel burning, isn't it? Only strange if you believe more man-made CO2 will burn up the planet or cool it depending on the political climate of the day. The agenda does not change with the weather. What is a decades-old policy, ideology of the climate agenda? In 1976, members of a respected think tank, leading scientists and so on, co-authored a report titled Reshaping the International Order. That's ISBN number, for those who want to read it, 0525-043-40-3, which stated, although not yet proven, climatologists are being forced to conclude that our planet has in recent times passed through a period which may well have been optimal as far as food production is concerned. And that's as far back as 1976, when they were planning to take over the food supply then. In fact, they were already in the process of it. In another report by the same group from 1991, the first global revolution, and I've mentioned that many times, they wrote, searching for a new enemy to unite us all of humanity, against a common cause, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. Fit the bill. For those who don't believe it, I keep repeating the same little statement from the Club of Rome, who wrote the first global revolution. That would fit the bill to get us all working together towards this great utopia that we who are alive now, will never see. Never see. Because there are no utopias. Only hells when these guys are in charge. Well, that's it for tonight. So from Hamish, myself, Interior Canada, it's good night. I mean, your God or your gods go with you.